Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, the show where we talk all things small business, soap making, and the messy, wonderful reality of being your own boss. I'm Margaret, joined by my co-hosts Jesse and Shauna, and today we've got an exciting episode for you. Before we dive in, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Bawana Bath & Body, handmade luxury every day. Be sure to check them out at bawanabathandbody.com. Thanks for supporting the show. Now let's talk about today's guest. We are thrilled to welcome Chen Narens from
California.
And she is at craft-mastery.com in Whitmore, California. Chen has turned her business into a six-figure success using a unique local marketing strategy. We'll be digging into how she did it, so stick around if you want to stop chasing customers and start attracting them. But first, it is time for our favorite segment, Word of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where we give Jessie a word that she's never heard, and she gives us a redneck word of the week in return. It's always a good time. So today's word is a New Yorkism. Okay, I'm going to hold it up for a second, see if she can see it first. Can you see it?
Uh-huh.
Can you read it? Do you know it?
Schmear?
It is schmear.
Schmear.
Would you like me to use it in a sentence?
At first, I want to give you what my initial impression was when I read it.
Okay.
All right, I read it. As schmear.
Okay.
And all I can see is some really big redneck guy holding a beer, going, "You bet you better get your butt over here, schmear."
Is this an Yiddish word?
It is a Yiddish word because, you know, New York is, there's a lot of Yiddish. So so in a sentence, I might use it as, say, I'm going to head on down to the bodega. Can you pick me up and everything with a schmear?
Is a bodega an OBGYN?
No, bodega was already one of the words of the week. I thought you would get that.
I mean, schmear, that's kind of the end of the pap schmear. Is that a New Yorkism for, I got to get my yearly oil change?
No.
Jen, feel free to jump in. Do you have a guess? I mean, you guessed that it was Yiddish. Do you have an idea what it might be?
I know the word. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Okay. Yeah.
Should I say what it is?
Sure.
Jesse, okay. What is an everything?
I have no clue.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't realize. Nope. It didn't even dawn on me that she wouldn't know what an everything was.
Oh, my goodness.
What is
New York famous for? What's one thing New York's famous for?
Pizza.
And?
What else?
And?
People that say coffee.
Food-wise.
Oh.
It's not a donut. It's a...
Oh, a bagel.
There you go.
All
right. So give me an everything would be an everything bagel. With a schmear would be... Throw some cream cheese on that.
So what's a everything bagel?
An everything bagel has everything on it. It's got garlic. It's got onion. It's got poppy seeds. It's got sesame seeds. It's got salt. All on the
everything
outside.
Seasoning.
Oh, I have seen that on TikTok.
Yes, that's what it is. The everything but the bagel seasoning. All right, so you have
I do. The redneck word of the day.
All right, let's see it.
Oh boy.
Let's hear it.
Y'all may have heard, it's hard to pick words y'all have not already heard me say. So, but the redneck word of the day is ranch.
Ranch.
You didn't say ranch, you said ranch, right?
Ranch.
A wrench is what you use to fix your car. You need a wrench. No.
Well, that is one, but ranch. Ranch.
Is it the sauce? Ranch?
Nope. Nope.
Use it in a sentence.
All right. When I get done washing them dishes, I gotta ranch them.
Rinse them? Is that rinse?
That's a commonly used term down here. Instead of rinse, we say ranch. You gotta ranch the dishes. I can't believe y'all never heard me say that in a video.
Maybe it's drying the dishes?
No, it's when you ranch them. You wash them off. You dry you wash them, you ranch them.
And then you rinse them.
You wash them, you ranch them, you dry them.
Okay.
She has totally lost us. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now that we've had our fun, let's get to the good stuff. Chen, welcome to the Dirty Heifers podcast. We are pretty excited to have you here. To kick things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how your journey led you to discover your marketing strategy?
So my background is in marketing. I have a marketing degree, graphic designs, and I worked in Google and Meta companies for over 13 years, for the biggest companies that you can imagine, if it's Macy's, Petco, Tractor, all of them. And my husband and I decided to get a lavender farm in the north of California, and we got into it. And we didn't know anything about lavender. It was a completely new journey. We didn't know absolutely nothing. I thought lavender is only purple and with one aroma, which is incorrect. And we opened our doors. We opened our shop. We opened our location. I started making products here and there. And we had a lot of difficulties with visibility or people coming to our location. We struggled because our location is like 40 minutes away from town. And the economy is not the most friendly, as you know, and people do not want to pay a lot for gas. So I needed to think about how can I make people see me and come to my location or actually enjoy the farm, because there are other lavender farms in the area. So I needed to be different, and I needed to focus on something different that not everyone is doing, if it's farmers markets or going into stores or online, which is challenging as well. So that's how I started getting into the marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm. So you bought a lavender farm without knowing anything about lavender. That is a bold move.
That's what you call a hold my beer moment right there.
Definitely a hold my beer moment. So tell me about the local magnet strategy. What exactly is that, and how is that different from what other businesses are doing today?
So I did not plan that strategy, that magnet strategy, in any way. It just sort of happened. We tried to do everything in our farm to make sure that people will come to our location. Of course, we started creating products after products and going to local markets, festivals, pushing our stuff into stores. We did try online, which the Amazon, Etsy, all of the classic ones that every person will do. Mm-hmm. And we got to a series of failures in a lot of them, especially on the online and the competition in this area, because we have a small quantity of people, only 80,000 people in the area. It's not a lot of people. It's barely amount of people that will be exposed to you or will be connected to your brand. And we needed to do something different. And I started thinking out of the box and what I can do and kind of listen to my local community. And I decided to start creating products with my audience, with my community. And the second that I did that, everything just exploded. And I will break down how it is and how you can do it in your business today to make a change. But it's definitely taking what the community wants, listen to what their craving needs, and creating a community hub around it, around the product that you have, in order to make sure that people will enjoy your product in a creative, unique way, and they will share about it to all of their friends and family.
So you said you brought people in. Is that you're talking about classes that you were doing?
Yes. Or they were making so there are several. Yes, so there's several ways how to create a community hub around your brand. And one of them is workshops and classes, of course, collaborations with other businesses, getting out of the box, getting out of your shell of just, okay, I just created my soaps at my home. And all I want to do is just stand in a booth or put it on the shelf somewhere and hope that someone will buy it. That system that we tried for a while, it was exhausting. And you did a broadcast out of it, I think a few weeks ago, you talked about how difficult it is to be in local markets. Mm-hmm. And you touched so many nerves over there. Oh my gosh. But yes, it's exhausting. And we decided to kind of create at the beginning workshops and classes in our location at our farm. And at the beginning, I had so much lavender, I needed to get rid of lavender. So I did lavender wreaths. And that became a hit. And then I said, what other products I have that they're doing good, but I want them to do better. So I had a candle making and I had soaps. And just saying it out there, I'm not an expert at soaps as you guys. I actually chose the route of doing melt and pour. And you kind of like, melt and pour is child play, but I do melt and pour.
There are people who make very good livings off of melt and pour.
Intricate designs.
Okay. I think melt and pour gets a bad rap because of people who are just starting out who do the melt and pour but don't know what's behind it. And it's just an easy thing for them to do and sell, and then they just don't really know the science of soap making. I think that's where the disparity comes between melt and pour and cold process and hot process, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I started doing classes around my best-selling products. And from that point, it just a huge hit as well. But it's not that I just got lucky. I worked really, really hard on marketing and promotion, how to do it right in order to spread the word and to be different. For example, everywhere you go, people do sip and pour. It's a really easy class to do. People are drinking wine and painting, which is fun. But if you're not market your idea right, no one will come. So right. I had to market it right and build it in a different way that it's highly engaging a community activity that people has to come and do. And the second that I did that, stuff completely changed. I'll give you an example. So I created my farm is open only for 2 months because of the bloom. And I created some classes and people started coming. And then I had so many registered and so many people enjoyed what I offered. They started coming to the next one as well and registering with their friend and bringing their grandma. And then it's a team building and then it's birthdays. And then because it became such a big hit and my lavender farm is closed because the lavender is not blooming anymore, other businesses started collaborating with me and asking me to come and do those classes and share my expertise in their location and bringing traffic. Now, and it's the biggest thing, collaborating with other businesses, wineries, bakeries, pizza places, you name it. I'm bringing the people. They're buying for my stuff. They're doing the class. Usually I have my booth next to it and they're buying even more. And then they're buying the drinks or the food in the location, and the collaboration just become even bigger. So I created a new line of revenue in that system that I did not expect, and it was a complete success.
Okay. So let me ask this. You did, say, like a soap, because we're all soap makers, you were doing soap class, because one of the things that I've thought about, and I've done classes, but like I've done for the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and things like that on their location. I make soap out of my house, so classes in my house is not, it's not going to happen. It's, you know, I have people here and, you know, it's my house. So you're saying you collaborated with businesses to then host classes at their places, like a paint and sip. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a fantastic idea.
So the thing is that this system that I developed can work either way. If you are a crafter and you want to start developing a new line of revenue, I can teach you how to do that, how to communicate with different businesses and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And you cannot do the class all the time again and again. You need to change it. You need to make it live. It needs to be a specific vibe to it. And of course, market it right. So that's working for them. And also, if you are a business owner that has a location, has a beautiful bar, or you have a bakery and you want to start doing classes and workshops, hosting, or yourself making bakery or baked goods with people, I can teach you how to do that too. So either direction, it works wonderfully. And for soaps, I noticed that people need to live with, after the workshop, they need to get an item to go something with at home. Like, I made a soap, I made a candle, I made it. But a soap needs at least 3 to 4 weeks to get hardened and to cure. And the best practice for that was the melt and pour, because it's super quick and they can take that home and kind of like show it to the friends and use it immediately or the next day. So that's why melt and pour is working for soaps. And also I have a different student that she is doing a private one. People would love to know exactly how to make the science behind it and how to do it. And private classes are exploding in our area. So my student currently for soaps making, she's doing private classes at her home, at her kitchen, and it's super private and nice. And she's teaching one-on-one how to make those soaps. And when they're done with making the soap, they're getting a ready-made that she made a day, a week before. Something
yeah,
like.
That's, so they are, that's yep. smart. That's what I did when I was doing with the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts, whatever. I would make the day before, I would show them the whole process, and then I would let them cut it, and they got to take the bar home that they cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept the other part. But yeah.
So the difference in that strategy is that I am not waiting in my shop or in my booth for people to come and buy from me or interact with me, because this is just exhausting. I just create an income ahead of time for my classes, for my events, for the collaborations, to be a speaker somewhere. All of those can work. So you're just actually changing your income. What you and I are, all of us are doing, is we are actually creating products and waiting for someone to buy it. Mm-hmm. And that's the most case. And you put in a money investment in it ahead, and you don't know if it will work, you don't know if it will buy, and you're kind of hanging in there. In that situation, I already have the materials. I already have all the stuff in my house. I can just share that knowledge. So there is no risk in that system when you do that. You're just collaborating all your materials, all your knowledge, and share that with a different person or a small group. And you're actually making a new line of revenue with what you already have. And I'm not using any ads. Everything is being organic.
Okay. All right. Do you guys have any questions yet?
Whenever you're doing your collaboration, say with a winery or something like that, I know you said you were talking about how you talk to them, but how are you splitting up? Is it just like they're providing a space and the class is yours, and then they're just providing space that people will buy from them, or you're splitting the revenue from it? Or I'm just interested in how that business goes.
Yes, that's a great question. So you need to choose the right business to work with. There's a lot of businesses that they're not familiar, or they're not accessible, or their social media will not benefit you. The vibes are wrong. So you need to choose the right business, which is crucial. Let's figure out that you do have a good one. The business that you're working with, there is several of ways that you can split the cost. When I'm doing it specifically in my classes, I am selling a ticket. For example, $60 for a class and another $9 for the wine. So it's mean that they will pay me $69. And the $9 after the amount of people who came to the class will go to the business for the wine that they had. If they don't want alcohol, they will have something else, but I'm still paying $9. So it's mean that, and the thing is that I'm creating those classes in such a high frequency. I'm doing 2 to 3 classes a week. Mm-hmm. And they're all fully booked for 20 to 30 people. And if you want to see all that, you can see it at lavineyardfarms.com. You can see all my classes over there again and again with different people. So you can see how it's done. But the thing is that they're getting paid for their item, whatever they're selling, if it's a pizza, food, drink, and I'm paying for the ticket, the materials, and the experience itself.
Okay. So I'm sure each place that you go to has a different way that you deal with them, right?
Most of them are doing the same thing that I am getting. I'm booking the location, and then I'm telling because I'm already known in my town, so they're asking me to go, and they know that I'm going to deliver a large quantity of people, but they know that I will pay for their the amount of drinks that they serve that day for my class, for my participants. So, yes.
Okay, that's nice. So in order to, I mean, they're getting, what the business is getting is they're getting extra customers because you're bringing them in. But how yes. many people do you bring in per class? Like how many, because what's overwhelming?
What a great question. So yes, if I have 25 people in a class and I do, for example, twice a week, it's 50 people. So it's 50 right. people that I'm bringing, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and I'm doing it four times a month. It's 200 people. That's a lot. And if I time that with a drink that costs, for example, $9, that's $1,800 for doing nothing, just letting me use a section of their business. If it's a back room or their porch, sometimes it's an area that they're okay with it. Now, people are not only drinking one drink. Right. Every time they're having another drink, and every time they're buying a bottle, or if it's a restaurant, they're buying food. So the exposure and the profit is enormous because I'm bringing people that never heard of that location before. So the location will benefit so much from this experience working with other soap makers, candle makers. So location needs to become a community hub where they open their doors, or if you are a maker or a crafter, you need to be the community hub, and your brand, your product, your offer can be the hub to attract people to you.
Mm-hmm. So do you go to the same location all the time, or do you have different locations? Because I feel like if you go to the same location all the time, it's the same people, and then eventually they'll get bored, which you said you have to switch it up,
yes.
right?
So you're absolutely right. At the beginning, I started with my farm, and then when it's other locations, I started with mainly wineries, because when people drink, they buy more.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That does make
sense. Yes.
I'm just, my brain is going because I'm about 30 minutes from all of the wineries out on the east end of Long Island. So I'm like, this might be a fantastic.
Yes, you can do that. You can definitely do that. I can give you all the step-by-step how to do it. But the thing is that, yes, sometimes I'm doing it in a winery. Sometimes I'm doing it in a restaurant. Sometimes if it's an activity that it's more for kids, because I have some that the audience is more for kids, and sometimes the audience for more adults or women, I can make the class to be suited to where I need. So I am changing locations, but the biggest trigger of where I'm going is actually how much they're charging me. Because there are locations that they can be greedy. They will ask for 30% of my income. And I'm like, what? I cannot do that. It's not worth me coming if it's 30%. So I'm saying no. And I have places that are letting me go for free. And maybe the wine charge is less, or maybe they're just saying, just come and we will serve the drink. So it depends. It depends how the system works with every location.
Mm-hmm. And what can people expect when they apply this strategy to their business?
Oh, what a wonderful question as well. So first of all, I would say that the process is very, very simple, because you have all the things, you're just collecting them together, and you're building a workshop around your top selling product. Mm-hmm. And when you are opening that class, promoting it right, again, I'm doing everything organic, and collaborating with that location to help you promote it as well, people will get slowly attraction in every direction. First of all, they will get new clients that never heard of them before. Why? Because you open an event that it's something interactive, something fun to do, and it's an experience. Currently, you're just sending in your booth and just hoping that someone will buy your soap, your candle, whatever you're making. But in this direction, people are like, oh, I like wine. I don't mind making soaps. You're hitting a new audience completely. And then you're liking all the DIYs people that they like doing stuff. You're hitting another new audience. Right. So that's, you're expanding yourself immediately. Now, when people are using this system, they're getting new customers. Mm-hmm. That's what I just explained. They're getting returning customers and returning a community, a loyal community, which is the biggest thing. Again, I did not plan that, but people that came to my classes started coming again and again. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like, in their mind, it's like a punch card. Mm-hmm. I want to do this class, and I want to do this class, and I want this aroma, and that aroma. And they're coming again, and okay. So they're buying again and again. And also they're buying my products when I'm offering them in the class. And it's becoming a returning purchase. And when you go, and when you're thinking about it, a person will buy your soap in what frequency? Once a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they're doing the classes, it's not like that, because they created so many soaps. At least they're doing 3 or 4 in a class. They're having so much fun because they gave it to their aunt or they gave it to their son, and they want to make more. And it's just becoming an attraction that they want to share with their friends, and they want to tell about it, so they're coming again and again. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, they're hitting new audience, they're getting return clients, and they're getting a community built around them. The community is a huge thing because they become loyal to you. That's mm-hmm. what actually make you as a soap maker different than the other soap maker in the booth or in the shop or in a different location. Mm-hmm. That will make you as the person to go to, and that will make you the person who has the credibility, because you're teaching about it. So think about it. Because you're sharing your knowledge, and you don't have to share all your recipes, only the stuff that you feel comfortable with. Because you're sharing your knowledge, people will see you as the source for knowledge, and they will trust you more. So it's a completely changing your brand and who you are mm-hmm. as just a soap maker in a booth. So in every direction is just a great mm-hmm. strategy.
I was thinking in the beginning when you were talking about that, I was thinking, well, if I'm teaching all the people in my neighborhood how to make soap, nobody's going to need to come to me to make soap, right?
So I disagree. That's a really, really good point. The thing is that the melt and pour is more focused on the experience. They're more focused about sprinkling the stuff in it, to grinding the materials in it, the oils. I'm talking about the benefits of the oils, the colorization, using Michael, using dye color. So the experience is more about how fun it is, right. Okay? So because of that, they're coming again and again. The private ones, those are the ones that I'm charging way more. It's like $150 a ticket. And because of that, it's more a one-on-one, two people, and they're coming, and they want to know it professionally. And then you're getting into the nitty-gritty, how to make soap. That mm-hmm. is the person that will not come back because they are already familiar with the product, so they can make it themselves.
Right.
In addition, I recommend creating a multiple or variety of classes. For example, I do leaves, I do soaps, I do candles, I do bath bombs, I do a body butter. So all of those, and around my lavender farm, everything is with my lavender that we distill ourselves. So as a soap maker, you can think, and you mentioned you're not doing much of body bombs, but you can definitely do that. You can definitely teach about that. Or yeah. other powders. Yes, you can definitely go into other direction and offer an example how to do those.
Right. But how do you handle the logistics of, so I'm thinking melt and pour, you have to have a heat source, right? Uh-huh. So either you're bringing a microwave or you're bringing a hot plate. And if you have 20 people, like to help, I don't know, I can just imagine myself running around like a lunatic.
I can already see it. Wax melter.
Yes, wax melter. Exactly. So good one.
And individual silicone molds.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You see that you can see everything because you already know the process. The thing that, cause you're a maker in your heart, and you know how to make those things. The only thing that you need to do is to compile it together to a really, really beautiful engagement that it will be interactive enough and market it right to make sure that people will come. Because if you like, just come make soap with me and you hope that people come. No, you need to make it right to market it perfectly. Mm-hmm. So yes, I am using a pot for melting soaps. And it's not the same as the candle one because the soaps has chemicals on it that can melt the cover of the soap pot. But we're not going to get into it. But yes, I'm bringing all the materials. I am bringing the molds. I'm bringing the stuff that they're adding, the aromas that they can choose. I'm making sure that the location has tablecloths, that each person is getting a beautiful kit. They're bringing me back the molds in the end, so they're not keeping it. I'm making it an extra experience with like ribbons around it and some, they're writing the names and everything. So, and you can see again, everything in the Vineyard Farms Instagram, you can actually see how I do the class. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely doable. And it's also fun connecting with the client in that level, hearing what they want, hearing, and I discovered so many things. What is the aroma that they prefer? What is the size of the colors? So I really, really encourage you to just do this to connect with your clients. Mm-hmm. And you asked me a question earlier regarding quantity. Right. Yes, at the beginning, I did large quantity of people and I have a speaker and everything, and it was hard and difficult. But now because I used to have 40 in a class, now I have it down to the T. I know it's a lot, but I said to myself, if you want to come in, I'll just open it up and we'll figure it out. And I don't mind sharing with the group that my clients that I'm nervous, I'm only one, listen, and I'm making it super fun. So they become your friends.
I think as a school teacher myself, having classes with 30, 35 kids in it, the amount of people is not an issue. Mm-hmm. But teaching a class like that is, I would imagine, would be completely different because they're all interested in what you have to say. They paid to be there, so they're going to be listening
exactly.
to you. They're not going to be talking yes. to their friends and, you know, throwing
exactly.
things on the side. So that's a completely different
They
situation.
Paid to be there. They're going to sit down and shut up.
Yeah, they're going to sit down. Maybe not sit down and shut up, but they're certainly going to listen, right?
It's right.
I'm not going to be fighting for their attention.
They're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah. Wow, that's... Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool concept. That
yeah.
that kind of that's got my gears turning.
I know.
A
you,
bit.
I'm seeing in my head. I'm trying to think of another question, but I'm thinking, how could I do this and how could I do that? What could I do that?
I know.
Body butters, because you said body butter class, and I was like, wow.
And
that's
let
fantastic.
Me tell you, another direction that you can take this, because everything comes from my marketing thoughts and how can I do this. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do the product with them and offer that experience, you can become an how would I say that? You can become a speaker about that subject and started right. teaching the health benefits, the history behind it, and get deeper in what is the best scenario to use such and such. And I'll give you an example. All three of you guys, masters in making soap, you know your shit, you know your stuff. So the thing that you can do, you can become a speaker in your area and how to choose the right soap for your skin or the right soap for private areas or for if I had a poison oak, what is the soap that you need to use? You can actually get to the nitty gritty of all the oils, all the materials, all the things, not share any recipe, but actually teach people the benefits. Yes, mm-hmm. how to formulate, how to do that. Or if it's not only how to formulate, how to do that, it's also for people themselves to look at soaps differently, how to become an expert in what you choose to use on
right.
your body. So, of course, you can take it to your direction, but wherever you choose to become an expert about something and you share about it, with it, it's in a product or the speaker, that will take your business to a different level.
Yeah, definitely. So, can you... Well, I see. Can you tell me how you do a candle workshop?
For
the
oh,
same
yeah.
kind of thing?
So my candle workshop started in tiny containers mm-hmm. that they did not have enough place to do anything creative with it. Because mm-hmm. I'm just pouring the 100% soy wax, and then they may, if they want to add color or some flowers, and then it's done. It's
right.
boring. So you need to think, and that's what I help my students to do. You actually need to break down the class in a way that will be more interesting and to kind of completely change it. For example, in my candles, I change the container to be with wide mouth, the wooden dough bowls.
Okay.
And they have more an area over there how they can design and materials and even putting a message inside it. You can reprint a message or write down a message and put it in the wax. And then when you burn it, it will get into it and the message will be discovered. So there's a lot of fun things that you can do and take it to completely new directions to make sure that the experience is special.
How long do the classes typically last? Right, because I'm thinking, how long does it take? You just said candles are so simple. It take, you know, it's just pouring it and you're done. So that would be, you know, 2 minutes.
So I'm making also the aroma is experience. I'm talking about the benefits of the soy wax or beeswax or other things. So I'm making sure that the class is going to be with enough oomph.
Right, it's got some meat to it.
Yes. So to make sure that it will be worth their while. I would say that my average class is 2 hours, that they are getting in, familiar, and I'm always making sure that I have a break in the middle that they can buy something, go to the restroom or whatever they need. And the fact that I'm doing 2 hours, and if you will calculate 25 times 9, nine is for the drink, but if it's $60 a class times 25, that's mean that I did $1,500 in 2 hours.
Right.
So will you go to a farmer's market or would you do a class? So there's a lot of going on here.
You're buying your materials also in bulk, so you're getting them slight cheaper.
Exactly.
Right.
And more than that, if the class is not working for you, you already have the materials. You're using it to sell it in the farmer's market or whatever. You already have it. You didn't lose anything. I'll give you an example. I had a class that was a complete disaster. Why it was a disaster? I developed a class around a bubble candle. It's just a cube with a shape of a bubble around it. And I said, oh my gosh, people would love it. And they just put it out of the mold. It's going to be so cool. I tried to do the marketing and then only 3 people registered. And I'm like, what? This is a disaster. What? And I can see that only 3 people registered like a week in advance. And I'm saying, I'm not going to do this class. So I can reimburse their money. The soy wax I used for my candles, the aromas I already have, everything is, I'm using it already. It's not that I wasted money on it. And unfortunately, I informed the location that not enough registered and that item is not good enough and I need to change it to a different class. So I rescheduled for a different thing. Right. So you can easily discover ahead of time when something is not going to work for you. And there is no loss in every direction.
Wow. So what do you, how do you market it? How do you push it? That's the big question.
That's the nitty gritty of the situation. You can have a cool idea, but how do you?
Yeah, these are all great ideas. Yeah.
So, yeah. So you need to work with me first to know how to do it right. But it's mainly thinking out of the box and making sure that I'll give you one that is the basic for sure. Take a camera, take your phone, your lovely device, and just put it next to you when you're working. You're already doing it because you already became viral. You're already sharing your stuff. You feel comfortable with it. But a lot of makers do not have that comfortability, or I don't know if it's a word, comfortability.
Comfortable. Yeah, close enough.
It is a word now.
It is now. We make up our own words all the time.
Yeah. So take your phone and just put it there and just record what you're doing. You're already doing it. And just make it work for you. And then after it's done, post it. It doesn't matter. It looks like crap, but eventually you will get into it and you can Google everything today and figure it out how to do it. And you will see that when you're sharing how you're doing stuff and you are approved of that, you share what you do, how you cut, how you mix and your mistakes, you're sharing everything and people want to see that. So that's the biggest thing that I can tell you. Start sharing. Mm-hmm.
If you don't post, you don't know.
Right, right. So how can people reach out to you to work with you?
So I just opened a new Google account, Instagram account for my coaching. And it's called Chen-Naren. Mm-hmm. And also you can do the Craft Mastery. So it's craft-mastery.com.
Both of these, for those of you who are on YouTube, I'm going to put this on the screen so you can see it. And then for those of you who are listening, I'll put that in the show notes. So if you're looking for Chen, you can find her there. I also see expanding, you were talking about expanding into kits, like DIY kits?
Yes. Thanks for asking about that. So I don't want to flex, but so some of my classes were a big hit and I couldn't put people in it anymore. It got to the point that it was overwhelming and I needed to kind of push them to a different event and they couldn't wait. So I said, how would I keep that sale and I will not lose it? So I said to myself, I will create kits. And it's not that I invented the wheel. There are kits for soaps. There are kits for candles, a lot of things. And I even created kits for lavender wreaths. But the simplest thing is that I created a kit for their aroma, for what they chose. And I just sold that kit. And those kits, you can do them in a microwavable bag. Okay. So yeah, that was a fun idea.
Have you ever had any terrible experiences while you're teaching a class?
Oh my gosh, yes. I had one last Saturday. I had a class Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I was exhausted from it because in every single day, I had a group that got completely drunk. And it happens. It happens. It's you don't have control of it, but you do need to feel comfortable enough to tell a person that it's like, okay, if you feel like you're a bit tipsy, go ahead, have a drink, sit aside, and I will be right with you. So that was a little bit overwhelming. I can say that in my 4 or 5 years doing this activity of the classes and workshops, I had maybe 2 or 3 scenarios like that. That's it.
Okay. I guess, you know, you could flex and be a bouncer or bring somebody with you.
Yes, I can. I had a worker in the beginning helping me. Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're dealing with a bunch of drinking going on, I would have to have somebody because I have this much tolerance when it comes to drunk folks.
Yes. You don't have to do it with the activity that revolves around alcohol. You can just do it in a restaurant. That
coffee
there's only
or something like yeah. that. Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of coffee houses. Believe it or not, in South Mississippi, we've got a lot of coffee roasteries and such. And that would be that's got my gears turned. I'm like, we could do, you know, melt and pour and have them supply some of the grounds to go in the coffee and
yeah.
You know, they can order coffee and coffee. So coffee.
So
with a schmear.
Coffee with a schmear. That's right.
There you go.
Oh. Coffee and cream cheese. Sounds delicious. There we go.
Well, I mean, coffee with, everything in a schmear.
There you go.
Or, you know, everything's not my thing. Salt is my go-to.
Well, I mean, Margaret puts butter in her coffee, so why not cream cheese?
What?
It's true. Yes, I do. I put butter in
bulletproof.
My coffee. Bulletproof coffee. Yeah. But
off
that's
the
for
rails.
A whole different
yeah
squirrel
we go on squirrel. Tangents a lot
yeah so
it is tangentially related
is tangeminize.
Let's see what else did you is it
squirrel.
Can either of you two think of a question that you've got or
so you have a big marketing background obviously and one thing that I read before that kind of crushes my heart a little bit whenever you're in a creative field is they say it's when you're running a business, it's 20% making your product and 80% marketing. Would you say that that's an appropriate statement?
In the back of the days, yes. Today, no. Because the social media is so alive and every person can become a creator and the algorithm is changing so quickly and every time there has a new thing that you're getting excited about it and everyone's doing it, you can create really, really quickly a good exposure in social media and make sure that you do not need to pay that. Now, I would say that Mike's specialty is in local marketing. It's less in social media that they are like becoming viral. It's not our goal. It's not my goal to teach my student to become viral.
Right.
It's actually become a local hub in your location. And the key to do that is collaboration with other businesses and making sure that you step out there and start speaking your truth. Simple as that. Be you, get out there, start speaking your truth and share what you do. Because if you're just hiding behind your booth or just making sure that someone hoping that someone will buy from your stand in that shop, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. So it's marketing, it's just not paid marketing.
Correct.
You're it selling yourself, but for free.
Yes. So I would say, you said that it's 80% marketing.
Right.
You're not referring to to paid marketing.
Right, she's just referring to like...
In general. Yes, I do a lot of marketing to make sure that it will happen. But if you want to know how much my students are actually putting a week for it, I would say 7 hours a week. That's it.
How many students, how many people do you take in as... how many students do you work with to then turn around and make this a business model? Does that make sense?
Yes. So I would say that if you start working with me, you will need to understand the concept, fixing your Instagram, fixing your website, fixing your Google profile, which is the Google professional business profile, creating reviews. Reviews are huge, so it's creating reviews as well. And after we rebuild that, we will go into rebuilding your workshop and your top product. After we're doing that, we will go into creating collaborations and workshops or speaking with other vendors. And again, if you are a business owner, it's the same thing, but in a different direction of contacting a soap maker like you or someone else that will do the class. I would say that it's a process of 3 months. That everything is being launched. And then after you just get it and you do a routine and everything is just falling after each other, it's just wonderful because I am selling my classes. I'm always having a class open like in another month and a half, because I'm fully booked. So I am already selling my classes in another month and a half to the people that are doing the class with me for candles, and I'm selling them the soaps. So that constantly gives me revenue and just cover all directions.
That's a nice, good, constant stream.
Yes, to be sustainable, which I feel like sometimes a farmer's market, a festival cannot be sustainable, because if you're small and you just started and you're not awesome like you guys, you don't know how to sell your products. Are you hoping that someone will get to your booth and you're hoping that someone will show an interest and maybe they will make a big purchase? It's not sustainable. So, but this way you are controlling the narrative of where your income will come.
Right. Well, I like it. I really like, I like the entire thing. You've really given us a lot to think about today, right?
That's right.
Good. Yeah. So if you're planning on making a workshop or a class or something like that, contact me.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantastic idea. Chen, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been packed with so much good information. For anyone listening who wants to learn more, you can find Chen at lavineyardfarms.com or at craft-mastery.com or her Instagram at narins_TCM. I will put all three of those up on the screen and also in the show notes. Definitely check her out if you want to level up your local marketing game. And a big thank you again to our sponsor, Bawana Bath & Body, handmade luxury every day. Be sure to visit BawanaBathAndBody.com to support another amazing small business. As always, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And if you think you'd make a great guest, or if you know someone who would, reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Next week, we're diving into a topic that hits close to home: imposter syndrome. We'll talk about what that is, why so many entrepreneurs struggle with it, and how to push through it. You won't want to miss it. Until next time, keep hustling, keep creating, and stay dirty, heifers.